The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I am Gina Ippolito.
Gina Sleepolino is here with us today. She's taking Benadryl, and she'll be out by about a half hour in.
I am not antagonizing Gina this episode. I want you all to know, because I feel this is coming. And I'm going to try my best, and I'm still going to fail, but I'm hoping I'll fail little enough that I will not be murdered afterwards. Ray, I don't know.
I don't know what any of that means.
Yeah. Look, I just embraced the idea that I'm going to get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, finally. Oh, Magali's retro game
has been fulfilled.
Yeah, it said if, as long as you have unpainted miniatures, you can't die. So I plan to live forever.
9 years ago, we all made a deal with the devil to have a somewhat unsuccessful podcast for 9 years. Wait, no, for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And then we die. And we sold our soul for it. We really should have gotten a better deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, why did we put unsuccessful in the writing? Like, that's...
Because Ray is very bad at negotiating.
I did not do a good job with that. Look, shame on both of you for putting me in charge of that first off.
We didn't know you well enough.
Doesn't mean I get what I want.
In retrospect, this was a poor choice, yeah, but we did not have all of the data at the time.
You know, just because I'm the tall white guy does not mean I have to make all the decisions.
Here's the thing about the devil. He's taller and whiter.
Mm. By a lot, honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me
anyway,
more about
this
devil.
This is part five of five, everybody. Well, this is the last episode in the Games Made Cartoons pilot series of Robert Clark Chan. He has curated this for us, and we have Tiger Electronics Battle Vision from the 1990s, a VHS cartoon / game / battle system.
It's if I had to put it into words, I guess I would say that it is
I would say Doom. I would say it's Doom. I have no idea what I watched. I watched it on one point. I started watching it on normal speed, and then when we got to the battle, I watched it on 1.5 speed.
It was pretty smart, actually.
This is the first cartoon we've watched in show history that I considered putting it on 1.5 speed legitimately.
So much filler. There was so much filler. I put it on normal speed when talking happened, and I was basically done with the episode. I have no idea who any of the characters are. Don't know any of their names. Don't know anything about them. They're never introduced. It is literally a 23-minute battle.
They disagree.
Are introduced just in the most perfunctory, don't give a shit way. That being said, there are names attached to this thing that have some credibility.
That is correct.
Yes. Our
do we
good
want
friend
to say
Christy
it now
Hart?
Or wait till the end of the episode?
Well, I just said it.
Oh, you said it. Okay, yeah. This was written by a friend of the show, Christy Marks.
Who's the best?
Created
Who's
by.
The best?
Developed by. Also,
Excuse me, but keep it real.
I feel
also,
like
two ladies, and it's a battle show. Good for them.
I mean, I feel like this is the sort of thing you get hired for all the
Pretty
time.
Much.
Like, we have a thing. we need you to put a story and like make it make sense. And yeah. The constraints are like heinous because this thing, this device, this Battle Vision toy is like terrible. And
how dare you?
Doesn't really work well.
How dare you again?
And basically this cartoon that they had to make was, you know, is mostly full of just dialogueless battles so that you can play the game. But you know,
logless.
A couple things. I have reached out to Christy Marks for comment. As of this moment, I have not received any. Second, my first thought when this thing started was, oh, this is something Gina would work on. Given damn what we know it. That we're not allowed to talk about, this fits a certain mold, I'll just say.
Yeah.
Damn yeah. it. It's you're right.
And third, we should probably talk about what Battle Vision is, because Gina found a video. I found like a basically a Tumblr blog about it. Same guy wrote both.
I watched
Gina
the episode.
Gina found a video.
I had no idea what was going on, so I had to like Google around. I posted it on our Facebook post, but I genuinely don't know what I watched.
Okay, listen. So Battle Vision is like an action figure battle platform. Okay, picture that. It looks kind of like an oil rig in that there's like four legs holding it up, and then it's a flat surface on top, right? And there's cannons, plasma cannons, and missiles. There's a big dome in the middle of it. There's a crane that does nothing whatsoever. And the idea behind it is it uses this. I remember Captain Power, when you had the Captain Power spaceship and you shoot the TV when the little like things that would probably give you seizures in the year 2024 popped on the screen. And you would shoot it for points. And this is similar in that it connects somehow with the infrared of the TV that's giving out signals through the VHS tape.
It is a technology known as Veil. Though the video that we found, that I found about a guy explaining it, keeps calling it Veil.
Oh, the one Gina found.
V-E-I-L. Yeah. That spells Veil, goddammit. And it's video electronic invisible light, something like that.
Yeah, and basically the way it was described was, this is basically like playing the game Simon. And it tells you to press a button, you press the button in a certain amount of time, and you're good. And so it'll be like, they'll be calling out from the actual battle station, it'll be like, you know, shoot missile 4. And then you gotta press the button for missile 4, right? Or sometimes missile 4 has a different name, and you sort of just have to kind of know what they're called. And if you don't press them in time, you take damage, and like your missiles will like pop off, or your guns will pop off. You have to run around and like put them back on again to fix the platform. And
you've ever ridden the second Star Wars ride at Disneyland, where you could be an engineer, a pilot, or a fucking gunner.
Yeah,
it's basically
Smuggler's
that.
Run.
Smuggler's
Run. That sounds
kind
of awesome.
Yeah, I just went on
that
like a couple
Smuggler's
days
Run?
Ago.
Chan, you didn't do Smuggler's Run when you went?
I went one day since I was, when I was a little kid, my grandma would take me all the time and then basically stopped because obviously.
But I know you went recently because I sent you a list of things.
For one day and we did some things. One of the things we did not do because it was like it would have been the rest of the day for us to stand in line for it was the Smuggler's Run thing.
Now I will say Rise of the Resistance is one of the best rides of experiences I've ever been on.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
Absolutely.
Guys, rush it. When you go to Disney, don't pay the extra $20 or $21 to get an extra fast pass for it. Just get there right when they open, rush it. It's like a half hour wait as opposed to 2.5 hours later. I don't want to spoil anything. It blew my mind. It was so good.
I've ridden it so many times, and I notice new stuff every time. I've ridden it probably 30 times.
It's incredible. And it's not just a ride. It is an experience around the ride. And I have found my retirement job. It will be working at Disneyland as a snarky Imperial officer on the Rise of the Resistance ride.
That's why Ray liked it. He likes when Daddy Stormtroopers tell him he's a bad boy.
This sounds like a very different ride than what I had been led to believe.
I will say right now, there are a bunch of Imperial officers, and in my experience, they were all women, and there is no shot they were not all dominatrixes in training, because they had a vibe, and I liked it.
I knew it. I told you.
I don't
the
know
what I'm trying to make here
this now.
Is that yes, this is similar to Smuggler's Run. You press buttons and then you try to achieve a high score. You try to survive the episode. If your dome ever opens completely, you lose the game. But the show keeps going. And this is the show, which is two episodes, each one about like 11 minutes long, and each one is a different battle in theory.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of reused footage in this.
I wrote multiple times. Reused animation is getting us through this. I do not blame Christy Marks for that. Honestly, I thought there's more character involved in this than I think. Like she's trying to do a story here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's trying to.
This is 100% a budget issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the constraints are too much. She's getting in as I believe. As much as she physically can, because she is so unbelievably talented. But sometimes the mechanism involved just doesn't let you do your best work. Mm-hmm. Is that fair? Is that a fair statement?
Oh, yeah.
Because I could see it. I could see where she's going for ideas and theme and characters and conflict outside of just they fight Shakespeare.
I knew that when I was like getting this thing, I was like, oh yeah, that's exactly what we're going to get with this is something that they put all this money into building a toy and then was like, all right, here's $50, write a story.
Yeah. And they teased that there would be more videotapes yet to come yet. No one's found one.
Yeah. That was some optimistic thinking on their part.
Yeah, and this is the early, I believe, 93 it was. This is 94. Around the time of the 94. This is the time of the Sega Genesis, I believe it said.
Yeah, the fucking Nintendo Entertainment System existed.
The Super Nintendo exists at this point.
Was it Super Nintendo by that time?
Yeah, because it was the mid-80s for the NES.
There's no way on God's green earth that anybody should have spent money on this thing, knowing that that exists.
That's the thing. It must have been pretty expensive, too.
The thing that this guy online got a apparently unopened version of it, and it had the sticker from Toys R Us that said $70.
That's so, not even, well, $70 back then.
Back then, it was equivalent to $8 million. Roughly.
Roughly worth about $150.
That is like if you're not buying a friggin' even an NES at that point, getting like an old used previous generation Nintendo, like you're a fool. Fool.
I still remember when there it is. It's about $100 on eBay right now. So you can actually save money. Cosmically speaking, if you buy it on eBay right now. Oh, but the figures exist. Oh boy, I might. Okay.
There are
I might
figures?
Be making some purchases.
No, do not. It's your money. I would be offended if you spent money on something like that.
Chan, it's all our money.
What? Oh god, no. Oh, I swear to god, if you use Patreon money for this, I will kill you.
Chan, I have to buy Mall Madness first, please. There's a lot of other purchases that take precedence.
Ugh.
So I will say, I remember back in the, right at the end of the Nintendo era, they were trying really hard to make the Atari 2600 a thing again. Okay. And out of nowhere, in the late 80s, you had these commercials, and I'll remember them vividly, but it was basically like, they were trying to sell it for $50. It was like $49.99 for an Atari 2600. And they had a whole rap video. It's under $50. $50? Well, isn't that nice? 2600 from Atari. And I remember being like, even like in the late 80s, this is a console from like the late 70s. And It's not like today where like you could still legitimately purchase yourself like a PS4 or an Xbox One X or something like that, you know, and it's still pretty good for what you need. The 2600 was just dots on a screen. And yeah, the Nintendo Entertainment System was freaking Legend of Zelda. Like, there is no comparison. Like, what? I don't understand. Obviously, it didn't work, or maybe it did, but not very hard. But
I mean, it's too early for a nostalgia market. Right. Too late to even, you know, like, get in the ballpark of something like a Nintendo or a Sega.
Ballpark, Franks.
Oh, boy. We better get going before Gina starts hallucinating, because the singing is the first step, and we're pretty close to total doneness on Gina's part.
Yes, that is a fact. Okay, so first off, one thing that really struck me about it is how many times they refer you back to the reference manual in the video itself.
They're just like in the thing that we watch. Oh, in the opening.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're just like, do this and do this. If that doesn't work, I don't know, go to the manual.
That's how, it's a callback that's how several times. Rules were back in the day, though. You couldn't Google stuff. You had to take what was written in the thingy as gospel.
It's taken me so long to get with this. Like, back in the day, you had manuals. And sometimes they were onerous, but, you know, like, you read them so you could figure out what the hell was going on. And these days they design games and toys and stuff to not have manuals. And like, well, you know, if you're too stupid, you can look it up online. But obviously we've designed this so that you would understand how the game works just by playing it. And it's real hard for me to do that. I do not like that. I just want to.
I recently went back and played Simon's Quest on my NES.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
And when I was younger, it was the hardest game I've ever played in my life. I could not figure out where to go, what to do. I would just sort of walk around, and Simon's Quest is the one where it's like, oh, it's a terrible night for a curse. And then monsters would come out.
That's Simon Belmont. It's like a Castlevania game, right?
Yes, exactly. And so recently I was like, I'm an adult. I will now be able to figure this out. And I could not. And I Googled it. And the instructions were insane. It was basically like, okay, go to the third screen to the right, hit the brick that's 11 from the left.
Oh my
hit
God.
It exactly three times. A thing will appear. You have 3 seconds to grab it. And I was like, how? How would anyone in the 80s know any of this? How would they know any of this? Even with Google instructions pulled up, I still only made it like 20 more minutes of playing. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck this.
Because there was nothing else to do except go back and play it again and again and again and again.
Can I let you guys in on a little secret of video game development that I've learned in my time in the industry?
Oh, no.
This is going to be horrible.
Back in the day, especially, people would make those games. Those games would not be very big. They would not be very long. And oftentimes, they didn't have time to finish them. And it's not like these days where you could just like have a day one patch and then your unfinished game could be more finished, you know, with more time to work on it. What you put in the box had to be the completed product.
Yeah, so, this is famously what they did with the E.T. video game.
Yeah.
E.T. video game.
I think there's a RoboCop game of that era. There's a bunch of games of that era that essentially when you got to stage like 3 or 4, generally speaking, they made that stage impossible to beat or ridiculously hard because everything after it was unfinished. So they would just count on their target audience never getting that far because they would never be able to get past the impossible stage 3. Surprise! Ghosts and Goblins only has one level.
Video game people are the worst.
They've been messing with your minds for decades. It's great. Anyway, my first comment after, oh boy, this thing wants us to read, is what am I looking at? I was not aware of the system, the game. I figured I'd try to get it out. But the first thing I realized is that I am into it. I like this game. I would play it. I would love it. I wish I had it back in the day. Although at this time I was probably older than its target demographic, which is a shame.
I get it, but also fucking terrible. Just fucking terrible.
And look, we get introduced to some characters right out the gate. We get introduced to a guy named, I think, Colonel Bradford. And he says, you know, they say there's two soldiers talking off the top. They're sort of G.I. Joe adjacent type soldiers.
One of them's a fucking narc bummer.
Yeah, because he says, hey, what's the worst thing? What's the worst thing in the world? And the guy's like, I don't know, terrorists. And the first guy's like, complacency.
What? No, he didn't say what's the worst thing in the world. It's not like AIDS. He's just saying, what is the biggest danger?
Biggest danger in the world. Excuse me.
He's a fucking bummer. This dude has never sat on his couch for several hours and watched TV.
Yeah.
He's like, he got to be doing sit-ups while he watches TV.
Dude, Lupin the Third is on Tubi for free right now, dude. Why are you so mad? Thank you. He also grabs the guy's toolbox and throws it in the ocean to prove a point.
It's a real dick move. Real dick move.
I didn't even understand why he did it.
This is like every parent ever who is like, I'm going to, if you don't pick up your toys, I'm going to break them all. But actually doing it.
But the toolbox was put away. Like, this was like a Jack Black in Anchorman kicking the dog off the bridge. Well, now this is happening. And he just does it. And I had the same reaction to both. I was like, you can't do that.
Yeah, he's an arc. This dude was the kid in high school who went and told teachers that his friends were smoking out back.
And we meet our two villains.
He is a hotshot commander, though. I mean,
he's very good at his job.
All of the bad guys agree. Hotshot commander. Yeah.
No one's going to dispute that. And this is where I think Christy Marks puts in her most work in this episode, is trying to flesh out these two bad guys. You have Omnis and Murtaugh. Omnis. Yeah, go ahead.
You've got, is his name Rampage? Who's the one who?
Rampage. Yeah. Murtaugh is just basically Rampage.
Rampage. And then you have
Omnis.
Skin Destro.
Yeah,
he's Destro without the mask.
He's Fruity Destro.
There's a couple shots where he's just doing a Destro pose, and you're like, man, he would look a lot better with some metal on his face.
You know what? He looks a little bit like, is it Dale from King of the Hill? except he's Destro.
Look, business in the front, party in the rear was very much a thing in the 90s.
Full mullet.
You don't have to, you know, it doesn't necessarily denote anything specific like it would today. Like, if you have a mullet today, you are making a specific choice. Back then, anybody could have a mullet.
Back then, I had a mullet, okay? I'll just own it right now. I went to get my haircut in the 90s and said, please cut it short in the front, but let it flow long in the back.
Did you say flow long?
Every chance I got.
That is unfortunate.
Look, there's a lot of unfortunate things about me, Robert Clark Chan. This is like number 96.
Yeah. No, I'm keeping a list.
I know. That's why I have to make sure you're numbering it correctly.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So we get Destro knockoff, and we get, honestly, I guess he looks a little bit more like a Buzzer, a little bit more like Buzzer, the Dreadnought.
I thought you meant Buzzer the Apostle.
But you mean what?
Oh, like, my
one
God.
One of Jesus's 12 apostles is Buzzer?
That's the single funniest thing Gina Ippolito has ever said on this show, and I will live in this moment for a while longer.
What the absolute hell are you talking about, Gina Ippolito?
Amazing.
I need to know what you meant to see if it was absolute bug nutty nonsense, or you actually had, there was a connection
Holy
made.
Holy like crap. A step.
I'm going to keep you guessing for the rest of your life. Yeah.
Gina's friend Ben is over right now.
I don't
Ben
get it.
A drill. Thank you.
Oh.
Okay.
Maybe there's also a man named Ben just waiting for us to finish. I don't know. I don't really know. I can't see anything.
In this context, the only Ben I'm thinking of is Ben Dover. And I was like, okay. That's where my mind went too.
I was like, am I doing butt stuff? And I didn't realize it.
Normally when Gina's doing butt stuff during a podcast, it sounds very different than what we're getting right now.
Yeah. This is not keeping track. It's happened exactly 4 times on the show. Mm-hmm, Gina doesn't think we know about it, but we do.
Go back and listen to every episode to figure out which ones they are.
Yeah.
And while you do that, add them to the spreadsheet.
Put under special notes.
I mean, to be fair, it's really more of a, okay. I'm going to put this joke together. Cause like spread legs.
Nope. Yeah.
Because it's like doggy style. It's like a different kind of sheet, but what kind of sheet is that?
A
sheet cake. The apostle sheet cake. Is that.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Take a good look. It's the Cobra Poco.
Joe's got trouble.
He's got his bag.
Cobra's got a puzzle.
And it's up in hand.
Poco's loaded for action.
It's the new Cobra Commander.
Cobra!
But Joe's coming back with the G.I. Joe Slam.
On the run for a gun.
G.I. Joe Slam.
He's out
back and crazy legs.
It's got a four-cannon gun that can swivel to face the enemy.
G.I. Joe, American hero.
Live the adventure of G.I. Joe. Cobra Pogo, G.I. Joe Slam, and figures sold separately.
Go, Joe!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
I did notice, and I feel real sad, that this video only has 341 views on YouTube. Like,
yes,
only 341 times have people thought, this battle vision, is it, what is this? Or I remember it, and fondly, and I want to go back and watch it. 341 times, there's 8 billion people on the planet.
If you go to the Facebook page, Facebook group for Knowing Is Half the Podcast, the one with 1,600 people on it, mm-hmm. I have posted a link to this video. You can watch it. I'll be posting it on our Patreon as well, so that way people can watch it and easily find it there. Mm-hmm. So that exists. That's a thing. I just want to say this is the dichotomy here. Omnis is the weapons dealer who's created all of the spaceships and tanks and all that stuff.
I appreciate that they took the Christie took the Sith naming mechanism of like let's take a scary word, drop out like one letter, one syllable. Invader becomes Vader. Insidious becomes Sidious. Ominous becomes Omnis. Cool. Yeah. Done and done.
And Murtok stays Murtok.
Murder Doc?
His name was TikTok.
TikTok from 1994, yeah, possible.
TikTok from not the app from Return to Oz. TikTok.
No, I feel
also
like
terrifying.
I feel like it is, in fact, the app that Christie went into the future. It was like, what is the most horrifying thing in the... Oh, my God, this app is terrifying me. Children doing things that I don't understand. Let's call it TikTok. But I got to mix it up so people don't realize I'm a time traveler.
But for the record, before that app came around, mm-hmm. the most horrifying thing in the world was Return to Oz. So, I mean,
it
still
works
holds.
On multiple levels. Yeah.
Murtok he's a lot like Rampage in G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe Extreme.
He is Rampage.
That he has like nanobots under his skin that turn him monstrous and give him like
little spikes
and stuff.
That I suppose at some point the idea was like, yeah, well, he'll get into a fight and he'll use those like spikes.
Sure.
But we didn't get that far.
We didn't.
He's got little nubs that sometimes come out when he's angry.
And I like that Murtok is the one in charge. The big spiky guy is the one in charge. He would normally be sort of the beefy sidekick. He's the guy in the chair in this. And I kind of like the changeup.
Is it just because you identify with this one too much?
I do. I do very much.
Yeah. Okay.
And we also have we'll get into that a little bit later because it's right here. He's very mad at Kenneth Knox, the leader of the Battle Vision team.
You mean the Hotshot Commander, Kenneth Knox?
Hotshot Commander Kenneth Knox, and he's mad at him because he was a scientist, Murtok was, and he was working on some sort of nanobot thing, and then something happened unknown. Kenneth Knox was going to stop him. So Murtok injected the nanobots into his system without testing, and now he's, messed up.
Now he has scary nubs.
And the goal of the bad guys, I'm always looking for an intelligent goal. The goal of the bad guys in Battle Vision is to take over the Battle Vision station so they can cut it up and sell it for parts on the black market.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have Diamantium.
Diamantium,
that's pretty cool.
That's not nothing.
Impregnable.
I like the fact that it's one of these leveraged buyouts. Basically, they want a leveraged buyout Battle Vision, but with violence.
Sure,
I'm fine with that. I mean, why not?
Makes sense.
And it's time to start the battle because they're going to send out the SkyMex. And as I read online, part one is an air battle, part two is a ground battle. But then also reuses all the assets from part one to also be an air battle.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Checks out.
And I love this show. If you like reusing animation, this might be your Citizen Kane. I also like that the Kenneth Knox, what's his name? Master General? What's his name?
He's a Hotshot Commander.
Hotshot Commander. He is
Master.
He is inside
Commander.
The base. Their red He's, alert is going you? Off.
He is no Russell Crowe. He is no Paul Bettany. He is neither Master nor Commander. He's just some dude.
Neither. He's not even Gene Hackman or Denzel Washington from Crimson Tide. One of my favorite movies.
Not even you're saying that as if those two actors were worse than the first two actors named. When you say something like not even, it implies like you say not even when you're like, he's not even Rob Schneider. You don't say that when you're talking about Gene Hackman.
Bold take. I think Russell Crowe, better actor than Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington.
Shut the fuck up. Also racist.
I don't know how it's racist, but I'm going to back Gina on this
Thank
one.
Thank you.
I'm going to trust that she knows what she's talking about, even though she is delirious from allergy medication right now.
This is how they got Roseanne. This is how they got Roseanne.
Denzel might be my second favorite actor, and Gene Hackman's in the top.
You can't
five
backtrack.
Or 10 at
least. This is Ray's version of "I have some black friends." Look, I like a black actor a lot.
The two leads of virtuosity are Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe, and I could talk about that movie for hours.
Mm. I have one black friend, and I know one movie they've been in.
Wait, I also love Ricochet. Does that count?
The or wrestler?
Is that a movie that racists love?
I don't unfamiliar with it.
That's John Lithgow acting his pants off, quite literally, and Denzel Washington in a younger role where he's a cop. And Lithgow is an evil, psychotic criminal trying to ruin his life, but do so in like an underhanded, turn the people against you sort of way. And the big thing that he does in the movie is he drugs Denzel Washington, right?
Okay.
And then he gets a prostitute to have sex with unconscious Denzel Washington while he loops in a phone call, like audio of Denzel from a phone call, making it seem like he's into it. But then the real kicker is that the prostitute had chlamydia. And so Denzel Washington has to start peeing when he's or burning when he's peeing. And he's like, he gave me the clap. And it's the greatest movie I've ever seen. It is wonderful.
It saddens me to think that all of this, this master plan of John Lithgow's today still would not make him non-presidential material. He could still get on the ballot.
We'll do it.
Because the world is shit.
I do have an update. Christy Marks has just written back to me.
Yes.
She says, you're talking about the toy that had an interactive VHS tape, right? I was hired to do all the story development for that. I brought in Catherine Lawrence to write some of the scripts along with me. Yes, is my response. We've got more bubbles. As I get more to say, I will add it in. You let me talk about Ricochet, and then that's what's going to happen.
Oh, boy.
But let's keep it real. So there's an intruder alert, and Kenneth Knox is like, who is it? And they're like, we can't tell. But there's a lot of them. And I'm like, why don't you just look outside, you dumbass? Get a pair of binoculars and go look. They're just dots on a screen to you, you weirdo.
Why would we have all this technology if not to, you know, use it?
You know, if one person says it's raining and the other one says it's not your job to tell me both sides. It's your job to look outside and tell me which one is telling the truth. Could apply in the year 2024 in some way.
Boop, boop, boop.
Okay. We're going red full alert, and we are starting this game off. Plasma cannon, missiles, get ready. It is time to shoot stuff on TV. And the name of the episode is Doom on You. And this became a rallying cry for a few members of the cast. Chan, I asked you if you could please.
Are we only now getting to the title of this episode? How long have we been talking?
There's actually a line before that when he orders them, the bad guy orders them to send out the Skymex. And I do please, Mr. Robert Clark Chan, if I could hear that line read all the way through, because he does things as an actor that you wouldn't expect.
Send out the Sky Mechs. I want that base destroyed. No!
You don't often hit the falsetto on the big on the big go. I love that he went there, and I love that it made it in.
It's pretty good. I'm currently working on a little GIF, because it took me a while to figure out the deal here. Is that these ops I kept mistaking them for the good guys, and I was like, why are you so fucking creepy looking? And then I realized, oh, these are the bad guys, so they're supposed to look gross and weird. But there are many gross and weird pictures that I have that I will be sending shortly.
Okay. I'm chatting with Christy Marks right now, because that's what I do. We'll add more a little bit later. Can we also hear the sound file? Because Doom on You, as I said before, is a rallying cry of the show.
It does. These are the good guys.
These are the good
these
guys.
These are the good guys. And their Yo-Jo is...
Doom on you, whoever you are.
Doom on you, whoever you are.
Whoever you are. They still don't know who they're shooting at. This could be a commercial airliner. They
also
don't know.
It also sounds like a little kid... Or Milton from Office Space, when he like mumbles stuff under his breath, then doom on you then, I guess.
Doom on you and your stick.
But not as exciting as the one guy with the laser cannon who has the same line roughly, I'm being conservative here, 10 billion times in this 23-minute episode.
What is with that guy?
He's my favorite.
I don't know how to deal with that dude who runs the missile thing. I'm not clear why or how he runs the missile thing, because
it's very unclear.
The computer does all the locking on. He doesn't do shit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just there to shout one thing, and Chan, I want to hear it so bad right now.
Well, there's that Doom on You, and that was the first Doom on You. The
Nearly
second Doom on You comes moments later.
Yes.
Doom on you.
Yeah, he's so catty. I love him. his voice, the acting, the way the character looks reminds me, if you've seen the Venture Brothers, of the character Shore Leave, who's the is the shipwreck amalgam, but he is a very flamboyantly gay character. And I kept thinking of Shore Leave every time this guy appeared, to be like, and Doom on you, honey. He's so good.
There's a gay character in this?
I mean, he doesn't express any sexual inclination, so
it's
far
there.
Be it from me to out him, I guess, but I think it's pretty clear what's going on here.
It seems pretty obvious.
He has a cartoon penis in his mouth at some point.
You know what? I'm gonna look for it. I'm gonna see if I can find it. But I have sent a GIF first off of one of these ops who has these gargantuan buttons. They're like 11 by 17, each of these buttons, and he presses it with a single index finger.
Oh, it's what the size of a notebook.
That was a chick.
No, there's another woman in there who also has very, very accentuated eyebrows. The second GIF I sent is of this guy who says, Doom on you.
Doom on you.
And the way his physicality very much suggests.
Yes. Maybe that, he just likes Paul Lind a lot.
He also has a Village People mustache that cannot go without saying.
Maybe he loves Paul Lind and Magnum P.I.
Well, we never get his name, but the list of voices in the credits, there's Knox, there's Omnus, There's Murtaugh. And we know, obviously, the our hotshot commander is Nox. Omnus and Murtaugh are the bad guys. Bradford is the colonel who was there at the beginning, which means that either of these next two names would be this guy. The first one is Young. Guy's name Young? Could be okay. Young. Or it could be Guon.
Oh, it's got to be Guon. There's no way.
I hate when I get gooed on.
Or Guon. Might be Guon.
No, it's definitely Guon.
It definitely sounds like a bad guy name, and I don't know who else, what other bad guys maybe speak in this.
There's one henchman that says one thing at some point among all the litany of keyboard operators that exist in this evil organization.
They're ops. They're called ops.
Ops, and excuse me.
Their dream, I guess, is to become like a chief op, premier op. He says something about like whoever does this gets to be head boy or whatever.
So
this guy's name is probably Young. And there's also one other name that we'll get to.
Yes. So Doom on You, they shout as missiles just blow them out. We just basically have a Michael Bay fight. It's just we shoot missiles, explosions happen, but there's more of them. And then they shoot missiles and explosions happen and we're fine. And then that, and you can go about, it's also the slowest lasers in history. Lasers are supposed to fire at, you know, a light speed-esque speed, to my understanding. And you can actually watch the lasers travel through the barrels of the guns and then slowly shoot out in many of the pieces of animation. And I was aghast at how slow the lasers were to fire on this show.
Well, I mean, they had to fill time, didn't they?
They did. And they used, and we said it before, they use a lot of the same animation over and over and over again. If I watch that one guy press that same orange button, if I could ask for a third GIF, Chan, it's that one guy pressing that one orange button.
Is another one of the ops. And this was before I figured out that these were the bad guys. And I was like, really? This is a choice. To make these guys so dumb. And he looks like he is in Genesis. He looks like he is playing too many keyboards. And also he is Frankenstein from the 30s movie. He's just like, it's no wonder that they're bad at their terror.
They're not great, terror, but right? I mean, they're well-equipped, you know? I will say
Aren't
that.
They?
I would argue they're better equipped than a lot of Cobra, because Cobra was constantly running out of money, and it seems like the dude here has plenty of money. I don't know where he got this money from, because he apparently ran one lab and it got destroyed, so I'm not sure how this works, but Murtaugh has a lot of money. And just, we go back and forth, lots of shooting. For an extended, Gina, you were correct to watch this on faster speeds. They finally get to a point where basically we're like at the halftime of the game because everybody's like, okay, everybody, reload, take a breath.
Well, that's part of the game, right? You have to do the reloading thing, some sort of sequence.
Yes. Well, if your buttons pop off, you got to put the buttons back on again. So that's what's there. So, okay. Second wave is now going to attack because the power of the station was depleted, but then full power got restored. Oh boy. No peril whatsoever from problem to solution 5 seconds later. And we get the second, third time on the show of a certain line that I enjoy very much.
Mr. Robert first Clark off, Chandler. Another picture. This is the one where I was like, oh, that's 100% Destro. He is standing Destro.
He has
the lapels of Destro.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He's got the color scheme of Destro. This
yes,
is
he does.
D-E-S-T-R-E-O? No.
It doesn't get more obvious than that. And please, I hope you're sending these GIFs over to Leroy Patterson to get them all on Jiffy under Battle Vision. Please.
For GIFs of Battle
Vision? I'm clamoring for them, and I think that he would do it if we asked him. I mean, what does he care? It's just another GIF in a system. Just saying.
Here just is the requested
Doom on You.
He mixes it up. He mixes it up.
It's similar but different.
Doom on You.
Yeah. I love this man. I love this man unequivocally. I'd vote for him. Doom on You guy. Oh, he's my hero. Anyway, I think to myself, there's got to be a better way to take over this base. Because aren't they supposed to be trying to take this base intact so they can sell the pieces? That was the idea. And yet they're just shooting missile after missile after bombardment after bombardment. And I'm thinking to myself, like, instead of just blindly shooting up this base, surely you have the funds, you could just buy it. Mm-hmm. Or buy enough influence in our government to get yourself put in charge of it. I don't know.
Well, this is the first draft of the plan. You know.
You know, and I guess, yes, there has to be a battle for the show to work. I understand that.
Battle bots. But it just
seems wasteful. What's that, Gina?
Battle bots.
Battle bots, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
Vintage. Okay. Ippolito.
So they just fight more. Just more. Literally the same fighting happens again for a second time. Same animation in slightly different order. And they say, we're going to crack that dome open, but don't open the dome. If you open the dome, you lose the game. So thank you very much. I made the argument here that I bet this is very fun to play. Probably more so than to watch.
Wait, are we playing it? Or when are we playing it? Or is that our next game night?
Absolutely not.
I was banned.
You crapped out on our last game night, Chan. You don't get a vote.
Watch this 17-minute video and then tell me that this looks like an enjoyable amount of time spent.
Uh-huh.
Also, for you, Ray, I did make a GIF of the guy pressing the orange button.
Thank you.
Happens many, many times.
It happens. So this one, or it's a beautiful pastel keyboard of 15 buttons that are all generally oversized, not as much as the notebook sized ones. Yep, and they're all different colors: orange, yellow, red, blue. I think I see some blue gray in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just one that is clearly to be animated while the others are just a picture. You know that trick from 80s animation. I know you do.
Oh yeah.
And this one guy presses this one orange button, which seems to do a lot of different things. Also, I'm going to point out, I found an intact version of this with shipping. It's only $250. Chan,
no,
I think we can afford it.
Absolutely not.
I think we can. People at home on Patreon, you want us to get this, right?
No.
You want to see Gina on Benadryl playing this game. Do you not?
Uh-huh.
I think you do.
I only took one. I didn't take the normal dose of two.
Yeah, but you're also like 27 pounds. So
imagine Gina on 4 Benadryl.
Oh my God.
That would kill you. That would destroy your liver.
At 4 Benadryl, Gina would almost think I'm funny.
I don't know about that. They should write that side effect on the thing.
I just assume our audience drinks a bunch of Benadryl before listening every episode. It definitely would help.
It helps everything.
There you go. Okay. So the whole squadron of bad guys gets destroyed. All of the officers get screamed at. None of them will ever be a prime op.
Thank you.
Prime op. And the enemy has been defeated. And what does that one guy have to say about winning the battle?
I declare battle vision online.
Doom on you!
Excuse me. It was the whole team.
It was all of them. It was two guys who shouted that like 14 times, and then they just layered it all over.
And this is the break between part one and part two. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll come right back. We are back with part two. I know it's been almost an hour, but we're back with part two. Oh, and God. I have somehow more to say about this one, and I don't know why exactly. But Gina might not make it, so I'm going to push through. There is an unidentified nanotech object.
The name of it. I don't understand what
get it either.
What was the nanotech object that was unidentified in this episode? Did we ever?
No,
because they just sent a bunch of goddamn tanks.
Well, there's that one little Sparky drone that they steal the leg of. But then they identified it. So maybe it doesn't really make sense, does it?
It's nanotech is something that is exceedingly tiny. And we explained that Murdoch had the nanotech injected into him. That is just a fucking robot. It's a drone. Why is that? How is that nanotech?
Listen, maybe nanotech was operating the drone. Anyway, this episode 2 takes place the literal next day. We got a plan. Yes.
Okay. Well, here again, I certainly hope that when the time comes, Ray will remember to post these pictures, because I'm doing a lot of them. This is the girl to which Gina was referring to earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Who is, I'm realizing now, the first guy, but with boobs. Go back and look at the first GIF that I sent. It's exactly
the
same guy, exactly the same hair.
And the same outfit.
I told you, that was a chick.
No, the first one was definitely a guy. The second one is definitely a woman, but they were so cheap with their animation. They're just like, I don't know.
Same deal.
Add about 4 inches of the chest. Boom. Okay.
Maybe they're government clones to save government money.
Okay. They're not the government. They're not the government.
Not
the government.
Not at all.
What are they?
They're terror. Although we never do get to find out what their acronym is.
I assume they're somehow funding by the government.
Okay. I mean, here's the deal. We don't actually know. It could be.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
I do like that this lady has this great Debbie Mazar eyebrow thing working out. It's wonderful.
They are shocked
you know who Debbie Mazar is.
Are you really shocked I would know who Debbie Mazar is?
Yes.
We are 90s kids who grew up with the Comedy Channel, and that was all of the stand-up we had, and so we watched all of it over and over again.
We had MTV's half-hour Comedy Hour, which was just like at 7 or 7:30 p.m. every weeknight, and it was like three stand-up comedians, each one doing like a six-minute set, and I learned about most of my comedians through that show.
Also, this one for you, Ray.
Oh, they reversed the button.
Reversed the orange button press.
Oh.
Okay, I didn't even notice that. That makes me very happy.
None of that is on Christy Marks. That is all on the animators, or rather the animators pressed into service for so little money that they're like, fuck it, just flip it around, just put it again.
So I do have more from Christy Marks here. I have wrapped up my engagement with her. She says, unfortunately, whatever development material I had was destroyed in the fire. If you remember from years ago, there was a fire that ravaged her stuff. She thinks that the Strong Museum, which I'm not familiar with, acquired her one Battle Vision toy. Let me check. She checks. No. What they got from her was the Doom on You VHS tape. She does not think she had one of the toys. But she thinks that the Strong Museum still has digital files of hers from the development of Battle Vision. She's looking at their records, and she gave them a bunch of old 3x5 diskettes, and there are Battle Vision files on those diskettes. She's going to reach out for us and try to get that information for a later episode.
She says
it was so long ago, she doesn't remember much. She says it was an interesting challenge because of the interactivity of the toy.
Stop bothering this poor woman, Ray.
Please, Gina. Well, let's keep some real. If 30 years from now, somebody reaches out to you about, you know, Babe Squad, you will be so happy.
People reach out to me now and I ignore them.
Yeah, but it's not 30 years from now. That's
also Babe Squad is a very different beast from what this thing is. This is when Gina is paid to do, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like the crap.
Yeah, don't say the things we're not allowed to talk about, Chad.
No, I'm trying to think of like,
don't spill the beans
like
here.
Crappier things like Match 3 the movie or whatever, and you just have to like create a story around like Bejeweled or some like Bejeweled clone. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Gina would write the shit out of a Bejeweled Blitz pilot. I'm gonna say it right now.
No, I'm not saying Bejeweled Blitz. I'm saying OG Bejeweled, the first one that you got on your flip phone.
Okay.
Before smartphones.
Look, when Gina writes the treatment for Super Busta Move, I'm just saying I would read it.
Chang Pepe died. The matchmaker from Mulan.
Oh, wow.
Chang Pepe.
Bob Newhart died today, but you're like, wait, the matchmaker.
I was sad about that earlier.
Oh, there's plenty to be sad about.
Yeah, but Lou Dobbs also died, so get a little back.
Lou Dobbs Phillips? The guy was in Obama?
In one day, three famous people in one day.
Of descending levels of fame.
First of all, I guarantee if you go to Chang Pepe's IMDb, she has way more movies than Lou Dobbs.
You know what? I can't fight it.
I'll check that. That checks out.
You are, without a doubt, 100% correct.
Woman was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. She was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Great movie. Uh-huh. Very famous movie.
What was he, the Crouching Tiger or the Hidden Dragon?
It's a lady, you racist.
Dragons can be women, Gina. As can tigers. Thank you.
Anyway. Can you just hear an Asian name and assume it's a dude?
Generally, yeah. Yeah. When they're named Pepe? Yeah.
You're gonna read about her later and be sad that she's dead.
I probably will be, but for now, for the purposes of this podcast.
she did animation too. This is on topic.
Uh-huh. I hate it when your Pepe goes away.
Pepe. I'm looking at my Pepe. A Chang Pepe.
Of all of this, I'm the one that's going to get canceled for this.
This is what happens. Someone takes Benadryl and then everyone gets canceled.
Doom on you.
You know what? Perfect timing. Thank you.
Knowing is half the podcast into a talk show, we have to have that as one of our sound bites.
Yeah, please. Can we keep that as a perma drop for the show, please? Can we create a Knowing Is Half the Podcast soundboard?
Absolutely.
And just
not
add perma drops? Something we should have been doing since day one.
Nope. And then when we read a bad review, remember when we used to read reviews on here when people would leave us reviews? We don't do that anymore. Because when someone
we don't get reviews anymore, Gina.
That's very sad.
Hey, could one of you guys do a review so Gina can read it?
Wait, but you have to then check it though. What if you just haven't checked it recently?
The last review comes from July 25th of 2023.
Man. People are not excited about reviewing us.
Oh, this is depressing. Almost as depressing as Chang Pepe dying.
We have 94 ratings, which honestly for a show of our size is not too bad.
Ugh, we should have made a better deal with the devil.
No, it was a bad look. I'll own this. It was a bad deal. My terms were not great.
We should have included iTunes reviews in there.
It would have helped. And if you want to help the show, go on iTunes, or I'm sorry, Apple Podcasts, and give our show a 5-star review. Why not?
I'm just going to keep on sending the air GIFs of these goofy-ass ops being like,
Yeah, that's a weird thing that happens, because as the vehicles in this battle, as the bad guy vehicles are getting destroyed, somehow it like electric surges through the keyboards of the operators, and they act like they've been flashbanged like repeatedly. Like it's literally like blowing up on them, but it's just a keyboard. I don't know how the physics of this work. I'm just saying. Okay, the next day. They say we got to let the enemies get a little closer than they got last time. We need to get them up close to the base so we can scan them and we can understand their technology. We're blowing them up too fast to understand them. At this point, Knox turns and he's like, fuck you. And they're all just like, come on, man, we got to do it. He's like, all right, fine. And so the ground attack is coming. It opens with the ground attack force hitting a minefield and bunch of explosions, but they're fine. They walk it off. No problem. Let's take this to red alert. Let's go to the battle vision stations again. Ops on the bad guy side, prepare for battle. And we, no more plot. We're getting straight into it. One joyful thing of, I'm looking at the ground vehicles. They are very Cobra adjacent. And I just love how the military and terrorist vehicles of this certain era do not need to make any sense in their design whatsoever.
I mean, they all look like Cybertrucks, basically.
It's an army of Cybertrucks with weapons put on the undercarriage of it. Why?
Yeah. I mean, if Elon Musk designed a tank, 100% bet that that was exactly what they would look like.
Yes, the Cybertruck would have truck nuts that would actually drop landmines. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. That's fine. You know what? I will take the L on that. Missiles. Let's shoot the missiles at the tanks. No effect. We got to press that orange button again. And finally, with the orange button attack, a tank goes down. And yeah, Chan, please, you got to post the GIFs. I'll post the pictures. I don't, every time I post one of these GIFs, I'll save it to my computer and I'll post it and it'll just be a still shot. And I don't know what I'm doing wrong. So please,
I don't know what you're doing wrong either.
Upload these to our Facebook group. People need to see them. Okay. At this point, the vehicle's blowing up. Yeah, it affects the people in the control room who are throwing their hands in front of their faces. Oh, no. And somebody says a certain line. Maybe I'd like to hear it again.
Would you, though?
I really would, yeah.
Actually, I feel, wait a minute, is it, which one was that? Because I just did the one, and there's only one more after that, and it's after the battle. So do you want it now, or do you want to save it for actual?
There's, you played, I think the one you recently played is the one I was just looking for. Because there's two more left, and they're both after the battle. Yeah.
So you can wait.
Wow.
Wait for it.
At this point, we recycle a bunch of animation again. Yep. And question of the day I have is Commander Knox is a man's man, right? He's got sunglasses on. He's got the what do you call them? Like the squares, the military squares on the pocket. But his shirt doesn't have any sleeves. He is wearing a military general's jacket, but he has ripped the sleeves off like he is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes.
And I love him. I might have to buy one of these figures.
Please. Use your own goddamn money.
I could. But I won't. At this point, a four-legged trash can. Something rejected from George Lucas's notes page for Star Wars Episode 1 climbs up the mountain. And there's only one of it. And it's the only time we're ever going to see it. Gunners go over the edge of the cliff and shoot at the tin can. And they blow the laser gun off the top of its head. Hilariously, the head opens up and a second laser just comes out of it. And I howled with laughter at the absurdity and joy I felt in that moment.
No.
The tin can gets up and gets to the base. He's on top of the base. He's on the deck of the base. They let it get up there and then blow the shit out of it with the plasma cannon. Now, apparently, according to plot, the thing self-destructed when it started to go down. But before that happened, the plasma cannon cut one of its legs off that did not get the signal to self-destruct. And our heroes have taken possession of it.
They got what they need. At which point, they take this little leggy and they put it inside their dome, their diamantium dome.
They crack it open.
And they open it a quarter,
and not too much.
They do things to it that
it to be described. It doesn't seem that odd, weird, grotesque. And yet, if you have watched or read any accounts of Grays anally probing human beings, and then you watch what they do to this poor little piece
of
technology.
I did not notice this. They anally probe it.
They're just surrounded with all these weird little like
robot
pods and they're just like, and if you have an ounce of compassion for a robot or computer or any kind of technology in your life, as you should, you know, if you worry about our technological overlords who are soon to take control of the world, AI and whatnot, like, you probably should pour one out for this poor little piece of technology that just getting hammered. Oof.
Look, I played Fallout New Vegas. I've met Fisto. Sometimes, just saying, you got to do to them what they do to you.
I see.
That's all I
when
was
they
saying.
Go high, we do go low you. In the butthole.
You get it going high. How you doing over there, Gina?
That's pretty much what you just said. I just summarized it.
I just used one of my techniques for how to win friends and influence people is to take your words and to rephrase them and then send them back to you.
For the record, this is why we don't have a proper drunk cast with the original crew.
We just wait till some of us get real tired.
It works, honestly, perfectly fine. They say, well, we're going to find serial numbers, hopefully, on the equipment inside this leg. And I'm like, there is no goddamn way on God's green earth they will find actual serial numbers inside the, hey, we found some serial numbers. We can trace where this came from. Why would there be serial numbers inside the terrorist drone?
Dude, they gotta microchip their pets, and this is also what they do because they want to be able to get it back. If someone finds it, that's an expensive piece.
He really is shitty Destro, is what I'm trying to say. He's using Walmart bought electronics.
To be fair, guys aren't creating their own shit. Like Cobra. Like made their own stuff. Not the quality of it, but they made their own.
Omnus makes his own stuff. Isn't that his whole deal? He's the
but
weapons
even if
dealer.
He does,
he created
it's
the stuff.
Expensive parts. He probably like it's like you need to turn on find your phone. He doesn't want to just blow an $8 million piece of equipment. So he's like, oh, I'll put a serial number on there so that if someone turns it into the police, I can claim it.
Mm-hmm. Hello, my name is Burdock, and I've come to claim my semi-exploded drone. I'm not the noted terrorist Murdoch, mind you, but can I please have my doom device?
Yes, is this the police department? My understanding is you found a backpack.
Worst terrorist ever.
I don't know that that's a conversation that's going to happen, but I want to see it now. Quite honestly, that's a sketch that I could have written back in the day. Kind of funny.
Back when we were funny, yeah.
Back when, oh God, you know, 9 years and 2 weeks ago, we were funny goddamn people.
Were we?
What happened? The answer is children.
Not wrong.
Okay, we're back to the flying machine so we could reuse that animation.
How long is this episode? It was 21 minutes of just reused animation.
Gina, yeah, you never would have really survived good. Children's Palace. That's all I'm going to say about that. We recorded till 11:35 p.m. that night.
I wouldn't have stood for it.
No, it would have been ended.
Gina would have.
Okay, where are we going here? Battle vision time. Once again, flying things. Keep the bad guys figure out they want to hit the dome, which is made of diamantium and is impregnable, but they keep shooting at it over and over again. And I kept thinking like, okay, they're going to crack it. Obviously.
No, they not enough time.
They
not
did
enough
not.
Time
no.
for that.
The tanks are now back. 40. Exact same. And what's great about the animation is sometimes these tanks are driving, the missiles will hit it, and then it'll be smoke, and then they just keep coming, and then missiles will hit it. And sometimes they don't even wait that long. The missiles just disappear midstream, and they just keep driving.
These are strong-ass tanks.
These are great. Yeah, I love it. They hit the dome a second barrage of times, and this gets us to... You know what?
Doom on you.
That might have been the same line again, honestly.
It was not. It absolutely was not. It is a completely different time code.
Okay.
I have marked them all.
I agree. I'm saying they might have not only reused video assets, they may have reused audio assets
that,
as well.
That sounds like it's against some SAG code.
Do you think this was a union production?
I think there was a union in the general vicinity of this place.
I think there was an onion ring somewhere in the vicinity of this place.
Maybe.
Onion. Another battalion of mechs gets destroyed, and the two villains look at each other, and Omnis says, the next round's our most powerful yet. And this is where they track down the serial number, the good guys do, inside the leg, and it's revealed to be the Terror Corporation.
Maybe don't name your Terror Corporation the Terror Corporation if you're trying to avoid being caught for terror.
I'm laughing because I'm playing a game called Escape from Tarkov, which is a newer-ish video game. It's a survival horrors of war game that's essentially like the Ukraine-Russian war simulator.
That sounds horrifying.
It's depressing and horrifying and very unfair. It is a brutal game to play, but the one company that sort of led to the downfall is called the Terra Corp. And I heard the Terror Corporation here, and I'm like, okay, I've made a connection. Tarkov meets Battle Vision.
I see.
Also, like, I'm playing it, but don't do that to yourself. It's a rough game.
You know, anyway, Gina's real tired, right? We could just skip past the...
we're at the end. I think
no points.
We have one more to go, Chan, and I want to hear the big finale one.
I know you do.
You know I do.
Doom on you, Terror, and anyone else who tries to crack Battle Vision. We're ready for you.
The end. We
Doom
got there.
Doom on you, Terror.
Doom on you, Terror. Doom on you. I'll say it honestly. I loved this. I loved this.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I would like to echo Gina's sentiments.
Look, the cartoon had promised Christy Marks being involved in it, gave us something to tether into. The reusing the animation, a lot of the silliness. Yeah, okay, that's not so good. But I bet this was a very fun game to play.
Again, there's video of someone playing it. And you will see that it's very much not.
It seems very fun to play.
Not.
And that is it. Now, Chan, earlier in our chat, I posted, could you please play the Atari 2600 ad to take us out? Because we're not going to worry about credits. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Go on our Patreon if you feel like it. And I'm going to post some of these pictures. Definitely the video so you guys can watch this if you haven't seen it on the Facebook group. But I really like, I'm going to get some memory chills as this late era Atari 2600 commercial can help us get out the door.
The fun is back, as you can see, with the 2600 from Atari. Still under $50, but wait, there's more. There's a stack of new games at your video store. In real sports boxing, the action's rough. If you're gonna make it, you got to be tough. Midnight Magic is an arcade blast. Like a pinball wizard, you got to be fast. Fire Solaris to protect your base, then blast off into hyperspace. The fun is back, oh yes sirree. New 2600 games from Atari.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." Or, "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it. And we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.